Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This lesson, as you heard, begins with one of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "I'd like you to hear what this is, what this is." Jesus had been invited to dinner, and in the 12th verse, he also said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Robert Louis Stevenson put it a little different way, but got to the heart of that message when he wrote, "Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant." This, brothers and sisters, is a very familiar parable to most of us, and we think we understand it. Very simple. We just need to go out and do the work. But like we noted last Sunday, there are these mysterious somebodies that sometimes live in our lives. You know, I'm too busy. I can't get the work done, so I'll wait or I'll call somebody and have them do it for me. Jesus is reiterating that each and every one of us has a personal responsibility to be God's arms, legs, hearts, hands, and yes, head, moving into the world wherever there is need. So let's replay this once again. We just heard it. We've seen it. This picture has a direct bearing on it. Bear with me. Because the master has slaves. He gets the banquet ready, and then, as with all of Jesus' parables, as we've said before, there's something that is fractured in the reality. That fracturing of the reality is simply that nobody could come. There wasn't one that couldn't come. Nobody could come. And they all had legitimate excuses. The person that bought the piece of land had to go out and inspect it. That isn't the way most of us work, is it? Or the oxen, you got to go check them out. We don't buy a car and then go look at it. We don't buy a house unseen and then go look at it. But that was part of what it meant to be in that culture at that time. You would never question the integrity of a brother in the house of Israel. If somebody said to you, "Phil, I've got this great piece of swampland," I'd say, "Great," and I'd buy it, and then I'd go look at it. Of course, in my case, I just wouldn't go home after that. But every one of them had that. Land, we have to look at the oxen, and then there's this whole thing about marriage. "I just got married, I can't go." You see, in the Torah, men are required not to leave their wife's side for the first year of marriage. They were exempt from any military duty. They were exempt from any other sorts of things going on. They were never to leave their wife's side during the first year of marriage. You understand why that is? Well, remember that one of the early commandments was be fruitful and multiply. And that's exactly the point of that. All legitimate excuses. But instead of the master packaging up the food, which he could have done, packaging up the food and sending the slaves out to those who had been invited that couldn't come, gee, if you can't come, I'll just send the food to you. He got angry. He got angry. And instead he goes, as we hear, and he has his slaves go out and get all who are infirm. All who are infirm. Because as we remember together, all who were infirm are the ones who have sinned. Either they sinned, their parents sinned, the grandparents sinned. So bring those that have sinned into the banquet. Because that's a mitzvah. That's a good deed. Go get them. And the slaves do. Still room. So then comes that final kicking point. The one that just won't let us go. Go out and get everybody. Compel them. That isn't ask them. It's, you need to come with me right now. Now, the risk is not only on the master, but the risk weighs heavily upon the slaves. The slaves. People could say, go away, you bother me. They could kick you. They could do all of these things to get rid of you. The slaves are obedient. Now that tells us something very, very powerful. This parable not only talks to us about the relationships, it talks to us about the emotional ties that exist between the master and his slaves. They trust him. They're willing to do all these crazy things because the master loves them. As Jesus would say, those of us who have ears, let's listen. Do we trust God enough to do crazy things? And crazy doesn't have to be St. Francis of Assisi or Mother Teresa kind of crazy. It could be reaching out to individuals we don't like who live next door to us. And showing love and compassion. It could be when somebody slaps us, we don't slap them back. It could be transcending everything that we personally hold dear in our life for the sake of somebody who needs the gospel. But, as that former Methodist, the late Maya Angelou, once said, nothing works unless we work. And herein is the call to action. To look for the opportunities, and once finding them, not avoid them. How simple it is for any of us to walk into any place in this region and see somebody that's homeless or crazy or both and not ignore them. Last night, Saturday night, Elsa and I do what we always do. We went to the store. We were at Trader Joe's, the one up in UTC. Just as we're getting ready to leave, we hear this. Wah! Wah! And we all turned around, the checker, everybody, and it was a homeless woman. And she had a basket, wasn't a Trader Joe, but they still let her in, pushing that basket with her things in it. Looked like she hadn't had a bath in forever. And she walked in, and she'd stopped the squawking, but now she's talking, and you've seen this, to somebody that we can't see. A couple of young men working, one was working over there in produce, and the other was over there in the frozen food, came out. But I admired, whether they were trained to do this by Trader Joe's or not, I admired what they did. The first fellow grabbed a bottle of water. And took the cork off and handed it to her. And the second one reached over and got her a banana. And she stopped and drank the water and ate the banana and was calm. Was calm. And then with that smile that she had when she came in that didn't look like she was smiling at anybody or anything, she turned herself around and walked out. Those two brothers, I submit to you, heard and responded to God's call to action. And it's that simple. There's a motivational speaker, Dennis Waitley. Some of you may have read some of his things. He wrote for us this thought. Life is inherently risky. There is only one big risk you should avoid at all cost, and that is the risk of doing nothing. Because you see, brothers and sisters, in this call to action is an invitation to risk, to fulfill membership vows and covenants that we make both publicly and personally with God, to risk as those slaves risked for their masters and didn't count on what they reaped, but rather upon what they had sown. Today is a day. The first Sunday of a new month, the first Sunday of the fall program, the first day of the rest of our lives to hear the call and respond. Amen.